Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we start a new sermon series for August, Miracles. Each week we'll look at a different miracle our Lord performed. Jesus performed lots and lots and lots of miracles. John wrote at the end of his gospel. Now there were also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. John 21:25. Jesus did lots and lots of miracles, but only two of his miracles are recorded in all four of the Gospels. One, of course, is the most important miracle of all time, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. A second miracle to be recorded in all four Gospels is the one we're talking about today, the feeding of the 5,000. Let me share with you four important lessons from the feeding of the 5,000, and they all have to do with the love of Jesus. Number one, Jesus loves people. You knew that one was coming, right? That's a gimme. When he went to shore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 14, verse 14. So there's that word compassion, which in Greek is splenectomai, which is a gut-wrenching compassion. When you love someone so much that it hurts, you feel it in your gut. It's used 12 times in the Gospels and is used always to describe either the feelings of Jesus or of God the Father. That is the core of who Jesus is. Everything Jesus does, he does out of his splenectomai, his gut-wrenching compassion. It is his primary motivation. And I think that's so important for us to understand. The Holy Spirit working through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John want to make sure we understand how Jesus feels about people and how Jesus feels about us. And how Jesus feels about us is splenectomai, gut-wrenching compassion. So the situation is this. Jesus has just heard about the beheading of John the Baptist. As a human being, 100% man, Jesus needs some time alone to grieve. And we can all understand that. We've been there. We've had those times in our own life when we're going through difficult times of loss or grief. We don't want necessarily to be surrounded by people. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we want to be surrounded by people. Other times, especially times of great grief, we just want to be alone. And Jesus needs some time to himself. We all understand that. But the crowd did not. When they see Jesus get into the boat and head to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they walk around the sea and meet him on the other side. So just when Jesus wants to be left alone, there's a huge crowd on the other side wanting something from him. How would you feel? Most of us would feel annoyed. I think I would. But that's not Jesus. The word annoyed is never used to describe Jesus' feelings towards people. Instead, Jesus is filled with splenectomai, gut-wrenching compassion. I want you to know that because when I say Jesus loves you, I don't want you to think that's just some milquetoast, warm, fuzzy feeling that Jesus has. Jesus has that same gut-wrenching compassion for you. Jesus loves you so much it hurts. He knows and feels your struggles. He knows and feels your hurts. He knows your needs. He knows your needs better than you do, and he knows best how to meet your needs. Which brings us to number two. Number one, Jesus loves people. Number two, Jesus loves meeting people's needs. Jesus doesn't just love with feelings or with words, he loves with actions. When he gets off the boat, he has compassion on people and heals them. You know, Jesus spent much of his time and much of his ministry healing people. Most of the miracles Jesus does are miracles of healing. There's a good reason for that, because that's one of people's greatest needs. Because of his great compassion, Jesus doesn't want people to suffer. So time and time again, we see Jesus healing people. He does it so often, we almost overlook it. In fact, we almost overlook it here in this miracle. We focus so much on the feeding of the 5,000, we miss the fact that most of the miracles he did that day were miracles of healing. As John says, there is not room in all the books in all the world to record all the miracles Jesus did, and the Bible doesn't try. But Jesus, in his great compassion, healed many, many, many people, more than we know and more than are recorded in the Gospels. After Jesus has ministered and preached to the crowd, it's starting to get late in the day. The disciples notice the crowd is getting hungry. And unfortunately, there are no Chick-fil-A's or Portillo's around in that area. In those days, you could only find those restaurants in Jerusalem. They only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How are they going to feed all of these people? There are 5,000 men, plus women and children. That might be 10,000 or more people. This is the week of the Mississippi Valley Fair, and each night they always have concerts with thousands of people attending. Imagine if after the big grandstand concert at the fair last night, all those thousands of people decide to come over for your house to have something to eat, and they haven't eaten anything all day. And all you have in the fridge are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now you get the idea of how the disciples felt. They were stressed out. They were anxious. They were panicking. Jesus is not. Matthew 14, 17 through 19. They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. The 5 loaves and 2 fish were a young boy's lunch that day, and he freely and willingly gives it to Jesus. He offers it as an offering to Jesus. Jesus takes that offering and does an incredible miracle. He has the crowd sit down into groups on the grass. He takes the fish and gives thanks to the Father, and he blesses it. And then he tells the disciples to start distributing the food. Which brings us to point number three. Jesus loves people. Jesus loves meeting people's needs. And number three, Jesus loves teamwork. When the disciples first come to Jesus with their problem, Jesus could have met their needs in many different ways. He could have turned all the stones into Weber grills with steaks already on them for people to do their own cookout. He could have created a Happy Joe's right there in the wilderness. They could have had a pizza party. Or he could have just snapped his fingers and all the people would have instantly felt full and nourished. Job done. Let's move on. There's lots of ways that Jesus can meet needs. But when Jesus meets the needs of people, he loves to include other people on his team because Jesus loves teamwork. He loves it when people work together. When the disciples come to him saying the people are hungry, send them away, Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't just send the people away. Instead, he challenges the disciples. He wants them to not just avoid the problem, but he actually wants to include them as part of the solution. He challenges the disciples, "You give them something to eat." They are not thrilled about Jesus's suggestion. "We have only 2 loaves and 5 fish," they complain. Jesus says, "That'll work. Bring them to me." Jesus takes the bread and the fish, thanks his Father, blesses it. But he doesn't give it to the crowd. He gives it to the disciples, and they distribute it. He doesn't want his disciples to be spectators. He wants them to be part of his team. It's one thing to point out the problem. It's way better when you're part of the solution. You see, this miracle is a picture of the church. The church is here to be Jesus' hands and feet, just like the disciples were that day. We're here to meet people's needs, their physical needs sometimes, but more importantly, their spiritual needs. God wants us to meet people's spiritual needs through teamwork. And this church, St. Matthew, is all about teamwork. As part of St. Matthew, we're all part of the same team, Jesus' team. And we solve those spiritual issues or we meet those spiritual needs with smaller teams like our staff, teams like our lay assistants, our council, our committees, our teachers, technical team, music team, ministry teams, LWML, all the other different teams that are involved in the ministry here at St. Matthew. It's all about teamwork. You see, we're all part of Jesus's team, and he wants us to be part of the solution. He gives the gifts. He's the source of the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness, but we get to distribute them, to share God's grace with our church, with our community, and with our world. It's a tremendous privilege to be part of Jesus's team. What a privilege that Jesus includes us as he meets the needs of people all over the world. Jesus loves teamwork, and that brings us to our fourth and final point. Jesus loves abundantly. Jesus loves people. Jesus loves people's meeting. Jesus loves meeting people's needs. Jesus loves teamwork. And finally, Jesus loves abundantly. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Matthew 14, 20 and 21. They all ate and were satisfied, stuffed full. You and I know that feeling. I couldn't eat another bite. They all ate and were satisfied, and Jesus commands his team, go out and pick up all the leftovers. Not only did Jesus provide enough for people, he produced more than enough. So much food is left over, they collect 12 basketfuls, one basket for each of the disciples for their lunch the next day. Jesus doesn't give in a stingy way. He gives abundantly, more than what is needed. We pray that Jesus meets our needs, that he will give us this day our daily bread, but he hardly stops there. He gives us our daily bread and so much more besides. He richly and abundantly provides for our needs, and not only our needs, but many of our wants as well. He blesses his people abundantly. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus does provide for our needs, but always goes over and above our expectations. The same is true with our spiritual needs. He doesn't just offer forgiveness for some of our sins and then let us work off the rest. Through the cross, Jesus offers 100% full payment for every sin we've ever done and every sin we ever will commit. He doesn't offer us a few more decades of life here on earth. He offers us eternal life, not here on earth, but in heaven, in the perfection and joy of God's home in heaven. One day in heaven is better than 1,000 years of life here on earth. But Jesus offers us life in heaven forever as a free gift through faith. Jesus doesn't just love us with an ordinary, everyday human love. He loves us with splenitsomai, an overflowing, abundant love, a gut-wrenching love that never ends, and that we can't even begin to comprehend. Paul sums it up so well in Ephesians chapter 3. His prayer for the Ephesians is that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, that being rooted and established in love, they may have strength together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. May the Holy Spirit grant us faith that we might truly understand the great splenitsomai of Jesus, the great love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.